And I love me some Bjork.
Yes, totally.
You know, I'm never going to be able to hear this song again without seeing that scene from Sucker Punch. Never again.
She's so hot.
And hearing the cheering. Y'all got to take some little girls to see Sucker Punch. Well, don't take them because it's on cable now, but you got to let them watch. You want to see some odd behavior. Well, not odd behavior. What's considered odd by men. And I keep writing this over and over because it really stood out to me. I don't think I've ever, well, seen it before, but not to this degree. Where, you know, when you take little boys to see movies that have action and they come out and they're punching, kicking. Little girls will do the same thing if you let them see Sucker Punch.
That's so awesome.
Especially this scene. This is when she, you've seen it, haven't you?
Yes, I have seen it.
But for those of you who haven't, this song is right when the main character kills her first monster and she walks out and, you know, she's got the whole saunter and the heels on and they kick this up. And I just was in a theater full of little tiny people and they went nuts. Little tiny girls.
Yes. And you rarely, I mean, you get a couple of cartoons where, you know, they're just, you know, able to fight and this, that, and the other. But rarely do you see one where there's not a guy defending her at all. It's the girl kicking ass all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And she walks out over his head. That was a fun.
Yes.
And it was, that's so cool. Her eyelash is real. Oh, my God, I want a sword. I want a gun.
Yes. Yes, seriously, this movie is so hot. I am. I think I'm just going to go ahead and get that damn walker for Second Life because so hot.
I'm thinking I may have to do me some baby doll dress up this Halloween. Of course, that's going to be something. I'm going to have to cut out these brownies for a few months. Damn. Because I'm a firm believer in, you know how, if you haven't listened to Pixinista on Tuesday nights, we talk about some of you people that wear cosplay that should not. You should.
No, some of you just should not at all. No. No.
So I will have to make sure I get into some good shape before I do this one. I have a brown version of a baby doll. Any drag queens out there want to help me with my eyelashes? Did I mention I love drag queens? Like if I ever meet RuPaul, I'm going to chain myself to his leg.
No, you never told me that. That's new information.
I love me some drag queens. Oh, my God. Anyway, that is not what this show is about. Talk about that Tuesday night. Okay.
I have made friends with a drag queen type person inside Second Life. They're a lot of fun.
It's not the same. I need a...
No, it's not. No, I assume it's not, but it's still quite amusing.
I need me one that's in the store telling me which hair to get, and these are the good lashes, and oh, they always have you looking so good when it's done.
Yes, yes. This one just has a thing, apparently, for grabbing my boobs.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
I'm all like, hey, those are mine.
And they like that. I don't know what it is about it. Well, I think they're testing to see how, you know, how they feel. So when they put on their fake ones, they know they feel right. I don't know.
I don't know.
Any drag queens out there want to call in and explain why you love the girl? One thing is true, and then we're going to get on to the news, about men of all sexual preferences, gay or straight, all of you are obsessed with women. Just telling you. Just saying. It's true.
But I have more fun. He's very sweet.
For different reasons, but still. Okay, I got to do the juicy. I got to. Oh, do the juice. Do the juicy.
Okay. Do the juicy. it's Thursday, people. Thursday.
Oh, morning. Well, there are some interesting things going on with EA this morning. And thousands of anti-gay letters. That's right.
Really, people? What the hell's wrong with you?
GI.biz is reporting this morning that EA has been inundated in the past weeks with what we are believing to be several thousand letters and emails protesting the inclusion of same-sex or lesbian, gay, bi, transgender content in its video game. Most notably, of course, Mass Effect and Star Wars The Old Republic. When asked, EA confirmed that this has indeed been occurring. And unsurprisingly, EA has no plans to censor any of its games. And I got to say, I applaud you for that, EA. Every one of EA's games does include an ESRB content descriptor, so it's hard to believe anyone is surprised when they pick these up. and they're going on about the children and so on and so forth. Your kids shouldn't be playing these in the first place. If they're under the ages recommended by the ESRB. The letters have been directed at EA's executive team, some of their creative heads, their board of directors, just about anyone at a high level. Many of them threatened to boycott EA titles if the publisher refuses to remove same-sex relationship content. Should they remove also the Jewish content from The Sims and the Christian content? Because if you're going to do that, it's all got to go, honey. Sorry. The letters also,
yes.
also infer that EA was pressured by the lesbian, gay, bi...
Oh, are you kidding me? What's wrong with you people?
Wait, to include homosexual content in its games. The content is forced upon children, exposing them to LGBT themes.
You know what? That's it. I'm going to go find me an EA game later, and I'm going to roll me a girl, and I'm going to find me another girl, and we're going to, like, have mad sex everywhere.
You know what? You just gave me an idea. I think if I can get my computer to stop shutting off at random, I am going to just start posting pictures of a gay relationship from The Sims just everywhere. Just in,
yes.
Yeah, we got your back this time. But other times, no. This time, you're dead right. The games are not for children, people, nor do they force LGBT content on any player. It's merely an option if you wish to replicate your real-life sexual situation, so you don't have to play that way. Some of the letters also complain that EA is deliberately deleting posts against the LGBT issues on its official forum, which is true when the comments happen to violate discussion rules on hate speech. Wow. EA has, this is from an EA rep, says EA has not been pressured by any groups to include LGBT characters. However, we have met with LGBT groups and sponsored industry forums to discuss content and harassment of players in online forums. In short, we do put options for same-sex relationships in our games. We don't tolerate hate speech on our forums. We had suspected that perhaps Focus on the Family, led by James Dobson, was somehow involved, but as it turns out, many of the letters have been coming from Florida. Wonder who could be heading that up. Jack Thompson. And it's and it's rather apparent that it's based on this call to action for Star Wars that a Florida Family Association is directing a campaign against EA because of the same-sex relationship content.
You know what? If y'all want to stay down there in Florida and marry your sisters and your brothers and your uncles and your grandfathers, you go right on ahead.
Let me read you a little sample of one of the letters, if I can get it to load up here for me. Again, the name of the people, okay, here we go. Dear Mr. Rizziello, it was troubling to learn that BioWare and EA were pressured into committing add LGBT content to Star Wars video games. You all know this is going to be on the show tonight and heavy.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you people? Seriously. I mean, I understand that.
Hey, hold on to it. Hold on to it till later. I'm also concerned that BioWare employees state in postings on StarWarsTheOldRepublic.com that they have been censoring, deleting, and banning forum members for expressing opposing views about including homosexual content in games children play.
No, it's one thing if you can do it intelligently, but most of you idiots can barely spell your own damn first names.
Wait. The overwhelming number of players on Star Wars games is children, and it should be our children, if let me correct you, who do not need to be forced.
No. 30 to 35.
Ginger, hold it till later. Let me get through the letter, baby.
It's so hard. It's so hard. They're talking out of their asses. It hurts.
They do not need to be forced. As a captured audience to participate in homosexual content, we ask you please adhere to your
participate. Yes, we are forcing you to have a same-sex relationship in whatever game you play.
Down. Please adhere to your long-term policy of omitting and steering clear of this type of advocacy representation in your games. Please do not include any LGBT content in Star Wars video games that will impact so many children. Thank you. Remember Saddam. Sincerely.
Remember Saddam?
That's what's written. And that's been written.
You've been kidding me.
Sincerely, Homa.
What the hell is wrong with you? I think it dropped on your head.
I can't read it. Is
Do
it?
You still last your mom's
Homa J. Home? I can't read her handwriting. This just tells me that this person, one, is not a gamer, because gay and transgender relationships have been in The Sims, at least since the very first incarnation. It was one of the first games to include same-sex relationships, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure there's been some back in the 80s that tried to do it, but not so well received. One of the first mainstream games to have same-sex relationships. You people are weird. And to say that, most of my stuff you guys know I'll probably repeat later, but the other thing I find funny is, again, this group has never been on an EA forum. EA really... And you know how we feel about EA and how they treat their treatment of us. So you know how serious an issue this is for us here, for me to side with them, is they don't tolerate hate from anybody. I have been on the Sims forum, and they had a gay guy there who was really spewing some hate towards women. I don't want my Sims to date women. Girls are disgusting, blah, blah, blah. And they came right in and swooped down on him, too. Hey, this is hate speech. You don't like girls in your game, then don't put them in, but we don't want to hear about it.
Shut yes, up. True story.
So there is, they are, for the most part, fair on their forums. So you're not the only ones out there, people who you hate, that you hate the gays. Hey, don't let your kid play. What kid is playing this by themselves is my question.
I don't know. I mean, can they even run Sims or any of the EA games in cardboard boxes?
Damn. I don't even know.
Away from the public library computers, you're safe. It's okay. It's not contagious. Apparently, neither is intelligence.
Oh. Well, we'll be on tonight talking about this. Because we also have a special guest sitting in with us. Lollipop from We the Gamer is going to call in. She's out at PAX East, so she's going to give us a couple updates and probably weigh in on this. As you know, we have some. What do we call Snow? I can't really even say she's bi. She's kind of.
She is. She wouldn't even call. She's adventurous.
Yeah, there you go. She's 11 of everybody. So you know her and Lollipop are probably going to have a lot to say. I am amazed at the fact that they just caught on to this. This is Mass Effect 3, for one. It's been in there since the first one. Oh, God. People, you need to find something else to do with your time.
Yes.
All right. You know what? Before we move to the next topic, anybody out there that is staunchly against the whole gay and lesbian thing, I'm going to invite you to call into the show. And I want you to bring your Bible, because now I'm going to rip you up. If we can go toe-to-toe. Don't assume that none of us here don't know the Bible. I'm issuing a challenge. It's going to be respectful. I'm not going to call you any names. But come on over and sit down and talk to us. We'll let you call into the show and make your comments. And I want you to use your Bible quotes, please. Please. Some people are like, I'm not calling in there. No, you're welcome to call in. Speak your side. But be ready.
Yes, be ready, because I'm coming with a baseball bat.
I'm going to put my Bible right beside me, and we're going to look up the verse. And then every time you have one, I'm going to show you one that contradicts the very thing you said.
Exactly.
Peoples. Okay. Tonight, you get to spew and say whatever you want to say with all your...
Yes, because this is nuts. All right, so a couple of things have happened recently. Not too pleased with.
What? What happened?
Hold on. I'm trying not to cough my head off. Yeah, so y'all just get to hear me drink tea. Okay, so court rules that Sony has the right to change PlayStation Network terms of service. So, yeah, that whole lawsuit that was going to go on looks like it's not going to happen now. A federal court has ruled that Sony has the right to change the terms of service on its PlayStation Network service because it has a choice for its users. Sony changed its POS for the PlayStation Network last year by adding a clause that anyone wanting to sue the company would instead have to go to what some like to call mandatory arbitration. In case you're not familiar with arbitration, if you have a complaint, you have to go before a third-party arbitrator to settle it. The problem is that Sony hires the arbitrator, and even though he or she is supposed to be neutral, they tend to side with the corporations that hire them. The company also added a clause that users could not form class action lawsuits. Those who are not happy about the changes filed a class action lawsuit against Sony Network Entertainment. The lead plaintiff was Steven Feynman, but it looks like the courts have decided that Sony has a right to change its POS on its PSN services as it pleases. So ruled Judge Susan Ilston of the United States District Court for the Northern District of California, who granted Sony Network Entertainment a motion to dismiss the case. I don't like this. I don't like this. But I think it's quite shit that we can't sue. I know it's daytime. But seriously, I mean, you sold us a console, and then you keep changing the rules again and again and again. So what about those who bought their consoles back before you changed them? Can they get grandfathered in? Because personally, I think this is crap.
Well, you know what? Here's what
we can sue everybody else, but we can't sue you.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'll be quiet. Excuse me. She is mad today. I started off with the juice, and she's like,
cake in my mouth, so I can't talk. See?
Okay, there she goes. I don't know, but well, I don't like the whole policy change. But first of all, you guys need to get an arbitrator that is not working for you. And there are companies that do that. A company I used to work for, I'm not going to say their name here on the air because, well, yeah. But there's companies that will do that. They even have you all can meet, and it's on neutral ground. So, Tony, really,
yes.
Quit trying to tip the scales in your favor. If the arbitrator is able not to, you know, to come to the same agreement as you, and they're not hired by you, then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the company I used to work for, we even allowed kind of an escrow thing where both parties could match a certain amount of dollars to pay us. And we sometimes had arbitrations all day. We had three conference rooms. One of them was split into two, and it had a wall, so we could even put two people in, you know, two parties in there. And it had cameras. We had laptops, so we could – everything was taped, videotaped. Court reporter was there to, you know, everything to make sure everything was legit. But you all hiring somebody is what makes it look bad. I mean, if the arbitrator wasn't hired by you and they came to the same conclusion, you'd be like, okay, well, you know, fair's fair. I do want to be able to sue you should I choose to, but oh well. I don't have to buy a PlayStation. That's how I look at it. I'm not looking at getting the Orbis anyway.
No, you can keep your Orbis. Your Orbis is crap.
Orbis. Oh, wait a minute. Is that you tweeting that you can't wait for the...
Yes, that's me. That's me. Seriously, tonight is going to be so much... hate and screaming and
yes, and it will be while we're playing Dead Island.
Dead Island, nom 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 nom, zombie buzz.
I'm gonna work really hard today because I gotta finish a lot of work before tomorrow, so I can actually play with y'all tonight. Or tomorrow night I'll be back late, so I may play with y'all then. Man, these brownies are wrong.
Okay, but brownies are a mouthful of cake.
I would take the cake. You know what's bad about these brownies? Remember I told you. Okay, so those of you who don't hear our pre-show conversation, I told Ginger I tried to make brownies, and then I got sleepy, and then I left them in the oven. So they didn't actually so much burn as they're just kind of crunchy. Hard to get out of the pan. And the problem with that is you cannot measure how much you're eating. You just got a bunch of big chunks of brownie. So you go in and grab a handful, although my hands are not that big. Probably that's like 8 million calories I just picked up. It's bad. It's bad. And they're good. They got the crunchy, chewy thing going on.
That is so good. I want some. You're making me hungry, woman.
That's why I had it for breakfast. There's like two pages of comments, by the way, on this EA issue. This is going to be the shot heard around the world, people. I give it till next week.
Remember Saddam. You know what? You're going to remember my shoe in your ass. Ginger.
What? Ginger.
Ginger. Yeah. I'm all sweet and adorable. I don't know what you're talking about.
On the other side of the fence with EA, again, EA was voted worst company in America ahead of Bank of America.
Wow, Sony, that's bad, Sony.
I see EA.
Oh, EA. EA. Why? Oh, why have I got Sony in my head? EA. I don't know.
I think I was sitting here looking at something on Twitter.
Okay, so EA this week was selected by more than 250,000 votes on the Consumerist as the worst company in America for 2012. It might have a lot to do with the people after them about the thing. What?
Because they're the devil.
True. EA has provided a response to the Golden Pooh Award, is what it's being called. It says, we're sure that bank presidents, oil, tobacco, and weapons companies are all relieved they weren't on the list this year. We're going to continue making award-winning games and services played by more than 300 million people worldwide. This is from John Reesberg in EA Corporate Communications. EA earned 64% of the vote in the final round, going up against the Bank of America. The Consumerist commented, readers ultimately decided that the type of greed exhibited by EA, which is supposed to be making the world a more fun place, is worse than Bank of America's average, which some would argue is the entire point of operating a bank. To those who might sneer at something as non-essential as a video game company winning the worst company in America vote, it's the exact kind that exact kind of attitude that allows people to ignore the complaints as companies like EA to nickel and dime consumers to death, and they do. Frankly, this whole vote on the Consumerist appears rather ridiculous on its face, Forbes summarized it best. summarized it best. They said, the plights of the gaming industry simply don't compare with BAFTA's actions, resulting in people literally losing their homes and savings. EA is widely loathed, and they've brought that reputation down on their heads, but they're loathed for reasons that pale in comparison to basically any of the big mortgage companies and banks involved in housing crisis and financial collapse. EA may not be liked by some, but it's worth noting that the company has been very progressive in its support of the LGBT content, which we were just telling you about, offering players of its BioWare games like Mass Effect and Star Wars The Old Republic the option to engage in same-sex relations. And, of course, they've been part of an anti-gay campaign, which we just told you about, from Christian fundamentalists as a result. But EA, you all got to do something. They do nickel and dime you to death. I remember in the old days, the first Sims, when they made the very mm-hmm. first Sims. Okay, now they keep coming out with these packs in between the expansion packs. That's nothing but furniture items that they made. It's $20 to buy this thing. It doesn't add any new functionality to your game. You can't buy the items on the little store if you decided, you know, I just want this mm-hmm. chair. I just want this chair. I don't really care about the other stuff. You can't do that. And it's so expensive. They also don't do very much support of the community, their modding community, which really helped The Sims 1 really propel it into stardom. People got the modding tools and started making furniture and items and different things. And they're very supportive of that. And they gave away a lot of their stuff for free. And I feel like if I'm paying you $40 for a game, you should toss some things at me for free that are nice. And if somebody's been a long-time supporter, they have records. They know their customers who've been with them since, you know, Bullfrog days. I can go on my account now, and I can trace my account back to 1996 or whenever, when I started buying their products. It's almost like they want customer loyalty, but they're not loyal to their customers. Now, and the only reason I'm supporting you on this lesbian gay thing is because it is the right thing to do, period.
Yes.
But the rest of it, y'all can suck it. Okay, so we'll talk more about this.
All right, what have we got? There we go. Am I muted?
No, you're talking.
All right, good. Because I know I was coughing a bit ago. Homeland Security wants to crack home consoles overseas.
Ooh.
The Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. Navy have launched a new initiative that will find ways to let the government gain access to information stored on home console systems like the Xbox 360 and PS3. The whole thing started in 2008 with Gaming Systems Monitoring and Analysis Project, which sought to find ways for law enforcement concerned about pedophiles using game consoles.
Ooh, GLaDOS, let my people go. Stop, Ginger, no.
Is she still got me?
She just let you go.
Okay, good. All right, the project tapped DHS Science and Technology Directorate for help. DHS, in turn, went to the Naval Postgraduate School, NPS, and Simpson Garfinkel, an NPS computer science professor. They offered a contract to the company to research. Really? I have a good connection. What is going on? Are you downloading porn over there?
Yes,
I figured you were.
You know how I roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, try it again.
All right, so ultimately, the research would produce a product that could serve their needs. Recently, the U.S. Navy awarded a $177,237 contract to Obscure Technologies. Obscure Technologies will create a new hardware and software that can extract the data law enforcement wants from both new and used game consoles. DHS claims their goal is to find pedophiles and terrorists. Today's game systems are increasingly being used.
Wait.
Let go of me.
Wow, GLaDOS is evil today.
Okay. I know.
Go.
Today's game systems are increasingly being used by criminals as a primary tool in exploiting children, and as a result, are being recovered by U.S. law enforcement organizations during court-authorized searches. Wow. DHS said it doesn't plan to hack into the U.S.-based game consoles, oddly enough. They say that there are privacy laws in place that prevent them from doing that. This project requires the purchasing of used video game systems outside of the U.S. in a manner that is likely to result in their containing significant and sensitive information from previous users. We do not wish to work with data regarding U.S. persons due to Privacy Act considerations. If we find data on U.S. citizens and consoles purchased overseas, we remove the data from our corpus. All right, so you can't do that here because it's illegal, but it's perfectly legal to do it overseas to other people, so yeah, let's totally do that. That sounds right. Anybody see an issue with this?
Oh, no, of course not.
Seriously, our government is so backwards nowadays, it hurts. It really does. It just hurts.
Well, looks like Apple heard our complaints about being nice to our educators and schools and things because they're now making some improvements to their online store, but only for education customers. The company, the company recently posted a notice on its K-12 educators website explaining that a new e-commerce store is in the works. According to a report from Apple Insider, the notice, which is stamped with a blue coming soon sign, states that the online store will allow teachers to create and view proposals and access order statuses. Also, the overall interface of the store will be getting an uplift. Apple says it will be sending education customers more information about the store's features, benefits, and launch date soon. Now, while these changes are sectioned off for educators, it could be a sign of things to come for the broader Apple store. Theoretically, the company could be trying out this new user interface on a subset of customers before rolling it out to the public, which I don't think it will be. That's why they said educators. This isn't the first effort Apple has made to help the education industry, which sees a growing number of teachers introducing iPads and other Apple products into the classroom. Recently, the company announced its iBooks 2 initiative, which takes physical books and translates them into digital content iPad. iBook author announced at the same time allows people to create these interactive textbooks using drag-and-drop templates, hopefully making it a more attractive solution to the traditional printed paper versions. See, that's what I like. That right there. The drag and drop, which means if there's some major event going on, like this lesbian, gay, bi, transgender thing, could be put into a curriculum at some point, although some parents might be a little pissy about it. But I would like that. Something that's historical, and this is going to be historical. You all make no mistake about it. This thing is going to get big and quick. I said next week, I said Wednesday, Thursday, Obama's going to say something. But this is what I like. I'm loving that Apple's doing this, and I really wish they'd push harder. Microsoft already delved quite a bit into education. When they opened the Microsoft store here, they gave $250,000 to the poorest school district here in the city of Houston. And I know exactly what they did with that money. I know that runs the company. They hired to buy a ton of computers and laptops for most of the schools in that school district. And I got to listen to them set it all up and Wi-Fi them out, and I think they have a computer center. If they didn't get a laptop, there's a computer center where all students can go and parents to use it. Isn't that nice?
Oh, wow, that is nice.
Yeah, so very, very nice. They did something with the money. So, Apple, step it up.
Yes, step it up, Apple. All right, Paul Allen pretender returned to U.S. Army. The Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania man charged by the FBI with stealing the identity of Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen has been turned over to the U.S. Army this week.
Why would you do that? Of all people to steal from.
I know, right? And you're totally, Anyways, 28-year-old Brandon Lee Price must first face a charge for going AWOL from his unit. He isn't in custody. Instead, he has been returned to his unit, the 10th Mountain Division in Fort Louisiana. He accused of leaving his unit at Fort Polk without authorization in early July 2010. Major Lewis Klein told the Associated Press that he was found by the Army after the FBI charged him. He will serve with his unit while the desertation charge is processed, according to Klein, who is the senior prosecutor handling criminal prosecutions at the Louisiana base. Price's commanders will decide whether to proceed with a general court-martial or a special court-martial.
Shoot him!
That's still an option. Price faces 18 months in jail if convicted in a general court-martial, while the special court-martial, a faster process, could lead to 12 months in jail if convicted. No matter what type of court-martial Price faces, who wrote this, by the way, typos. He could be dishonorably discharged or face a bad conduct discharge.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
The Army's 120-day speedy trial makes it so that Price can return to Pittsburgh to face charges on the FBI bank fraud charge. Price was arrested on March 2nd in Pittsburgh. According to the FBI complaint last month, Price contacted Citibank in January pretending to be Paul Allen and asked them to change the address on one of Allen's accounts from Seattle to Pittsburgh. Price called back 3 days later to tell the company that he had lost his debit card and asked them to issue him a new one. After he received the card at the Pittsburgh address, he tried to use it to make $15,000 Western Union transaction and a $658.81 payment on the Armed Forces Bank loan account.
What the deuce?
I know, right? He also tried to use the card to buy items at a video game store and at a dollar store.
Wow.
You already went AWOL, so that makes you not the brightest, you know, crayon in the box. And then you steal somebody who's fairly well known, Paul Allen's identity. And then you use that identity to try to pay off your money.
Army debt.
Your army debt that you shouldn't have had in the first place.
The government of all people. Don't you think that that was going to trip
those
something?
Those cards are only for you to be used when you're traveling for the government or when you're moving, and they're going to reimburse you. Otherwise, you don't use those damn things.
He didn't use it for that. He used Paul Allen card to try to pay his army debt. He didn't think
everybody
was going to look and say, Paul Allen? We don't know who Paul Allen is. Who is it?
Yes, 9 times out of 10, though, if you've got debt on those military cards, it's because you've used them for something you shouldn't. Otherwise, the military reimburses you for whatever is on those cards.
Ooh, he was just dumb.
Yes, dumb.
Wow.
All the way around dumb.
You're going to jail. You're going to jail.
And you're going to military jail, buddy.
Oh.
That's where they do it right.
I'll just be like, military. Can you just open a jail on your own? Can you open, like, a private jail, I wonder?
I don't know. That's a good question. We should totally do that if we can.
I would only keep, like, rapists, murderers, and child molesters in my jail.
Out, there'd be, like, landmines all around the outside. Go ahead, buddy. Just
look like
it. Make a run for it.
Look, if you can get through that field right there, you can go. You're free to go.
Oh, the fun that we'd have in that field.
I got snipers. I wouldn't even say anything. Be like, open the door. You want to leave? You're free to go if you can make it to that fence and over the top.
Nice.
That would be lovely. Okay. So I don't know about you, but I really need me a mole baby.
A what? No.
Yeah, we talked about these mole baby things.
I remember this now. Yeah, I said no then, too. No.
Yes. This is from Tally Network. A rapidly expanding company catering to the fast-paced mobile crowd have unveiled their April update for the iOS hit mole baby, which was not free, by the way. Remember they told us it was free that day? It was not free. Liars. With millions of downloads worldwide and a permanent place in the top 5 games downloaded from the App Store in its category, the Moles World series encompasses numerous promising titles for all players, young and old. The game is available for download to your iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch for a mere 99 cents. April's update is a spring update that offers players numerous improvements and features, including enhancements requested by some of you out there. I don't know who's playing this, but maybe you wanted it. Mole Baby makes it even easier to share your love with your friends. Now's the perfect time to feed your baby. As she gobbles down golden beans, she will return up to 30 beans per day, allowing everyone to save up for their favorite special items faster. Log in during the spring celebrations to earn double the daily dosage of beans, which can be used to buy costumes, fireworks, decorations, and more. Baby, the little people can play it. They're saying she blinks her large, adorable eyes. She chuckles and laughs when you tickle her.
Wow.
Your job is to love and raise her, and she repeats all sounds in an adorable voice. Choosing appropriate clothes for her to wear and teaching her to expand her vocabulary by learning new words are very important tasks for the player. Some of her key features are, again, she can talk. She'll repeat all sounds. You can teach her how to read, how to write, poke or tickle Mole Baby, launch baby-friendly fireworks, feed Mole Baby her favorite snacks, dress Mole Baby in her favorite costumes, and choose Mole Baby's room by selecting your own decorations. You can take Mole Baby on play dates, visit friends, and give the gift of strawberry cakes. Some of her free features that you don't have to pay for, she has 3 different snacks, rice, cookies, and cake. What baby likes rice?
I loved rice. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said as a baby. You know babies don't like gritty things in their mouth when they're little.
Apparently, rice baby foods.
No, I didn't say rice baby food. I said rice.
I love me some rocks pudding. Nah.
My little cousin, who is now 27, I had rice spit in my face many times. If you mixed it in with some of his other food, probably up until he was one, he didn't like the consistency of it. So, anyway, you can choose from up to 6 props: book, bubbles, brush, catapult, a magic berry, and a notebook. Choose from 3 fun-filled levels. You can upgrade. You have the optional to upgrade to 3 additional levels. Select from fireworks, 4 lanterns in celebration of the spring festival and the lunar holiday. You can choose 7 costumes for Mole Baby, with an additional 11 costumes available with an upgrade. She sounds interesting. I just want to open her belly and look at her code. That's all I want to do.
That's all you ever want to do to those 4 things.
I wonder if they'll let me have the source code. I just want to see what makes her work. She can read. That's what I wanted. That's what has me interested. She can read and write. I need to see this. I need to see
that. That is interesting, yeah.
Hey, y'all want to pass me that code over? Otherwise, I may have to open up her belly. Ginger won't let me hold it.
No holding my baby. That baby was expensive. All right, Sugar DVD streaming adult video service lands on PS3. Oh, yeah, porn sounds to your PS3. adult video streaming company Sugar DVD is expanding.
Sugar?
Yes, Sugar DVD. It is expanding its service with a new app for the PlayStation 3. The Saucy adult video service is already available on Roku, Boxy, and Google TV. For around $8 a month, adult users can watch unlimited streaming titles divided up amongst various categories, which we're not going to mention here. There are also DVD and streaming combo packages, with the most expensive plan, 8 DVDs out at a time, and unlimited streaming for about $40 a month. All the plans include 20 free VOD, videos on demand minutes. The company's adult pay-per-view service, IGN, has a short video report, which, you know, if you want to watch it, you can go over there. You can actually find the link up on Game Politics, where they giggle like teenagers about the idea of being able to watch porn on a console. Depending on your definition of safe for work, this video probably falls in that category. While pornography remains a taboo subject on its own, having access to it on a home console through a service similar to how Netflix operates might be too much for politicians and moral moral advocacy groups to resist waging a full assault on. On the other hand, adults that want to watch adult content and pay for it should have the right to do so. they say as long as we don't see ads for it on the PlayStation blog or the console itself.
Ooh. What? Well, sugar.
Yeah, sugar baby.
What?
You know what?
All right.
Me.
Sorry, I was having a carry moment. Okay. Guns of okay. Yeah, we got to talk about this offline. Something weird is going on, and I'm not really sure what it is. Okay, but anyway, Muse Games has released a new trailer of the Guns of Icarus Online, which I will add to our channel. It'll be at the back of the channel. I've not moved them around so that the new ones are at the front again, because YouTube made some updates, and I'm like, bleh, hate you, YouTube. It's supposed to feature alpha footage from actual gameplay session of the Guns of Icarus. The video focuses on what it'll look like as you're blasting your rivals out of the sky. That's right. Additionally, pre-orders are now available on the site as well, and pre-order packages are 25% off. Pre-order does not include access to the closed beta. Sorry. However, openings for a closed beta may be available for the newsletter. Trailer and pre-order information are at gunsoficarus.com. You know we're going to go sign up for beta. You know this already, right? My window's already open. Before I even told you, I'm already in. 300 years ago was the beginning of the war, the great war that never really ended. Cities were converted to war machines or rubble, citizens to soldiers or refugees, and the war raged until it consumed the world and turned the fertile plains to dust. Only when nations ceased to exist did they cease to send out armies and fleets to do battle, leaving those who remained struggling, not for dominance now, but for survival, to regroup and to rebuild among the remains of the modern age. Where scattered survivors met, they sometimes clashed, their skirmishes spasmodically reenacting the great wars in miniature, and they sometimes found a common interest and banded together, sheltering in makeshift camps. Yeah, all that's in the game you can read. again, this is going to be Guns of Icarus. It's going to be the first co-op airship combat game, mixing together first-person shooter action with team-based strategy. Up to 4 of you will be able to crew a ship at a time. Sorry you can't be on the GGR ship, but maybe you could be on our side. Otherwise, we're going to blast you out the sky. But again, go check out gunsoficarus.com. This is being developed by Muse City Games. It's going to be Matt, the NPC as well. Yay!
All right.
You're laughing, but you know how you are. So I already see, you know, you've got the full position. You got your captain, your engineer, and your gunner. We already know Ginger's going to be the gunner.
Yes. Totally, yes.
So we'll make Blaster the captain, but none of us are going to do whatever he says. We're going to argue every time he says, okay, we're going to do this. No!
I'm going to be the one over there on the gun. Blam, 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 blam. I'm sorry, we talking?
I can't wait.
Nice, right? Nice.
Yes. All right, Outspark announces Dark Blood action RPG for summer of 2012. Fast-paced hack and slash PvP fighting with mature content for core gamers. Just in time, PAX announced today that it will be releasing the hit free-to-play PvP fighting game Dark Blood for North America and Europe this summer. In a world torn apart by power and greed, the sacrifice of four fallen heroes will drive their descendants to master a mysterious force, the last hope in defeating the insidious evil that consumes their universe. I'm sorry, people. I'm so congested. Y'all, seriously, I'm dying. I probably sound ridiculous. All right, so they say we are thrilled to be working with developer JCR Soft and licensor Game High to bring this gripping free-to-play action RPG to the Western markets. Dark Blood is a huge hit in Korea. The game has fast-paced hack-and-slash mechanics, exciting PvP arenas, an internal ranking system, and mature content. This is coming from Philip Yun, CEO of Outspark. No question, it's a very sexy game with an adrenaline rush of blood and violence. Ooh, hot. Players can look forward to many thrilling fight nights. All right, so I have a trailer and a screenshot up on GameMatrix.com this morning, so head over there and check that out. And
no
bless
one,
you, Miss Corey.
No, I don't know what that was, but thank you. I don't know if it was these.
I know. My nose is like doing that whole tingly thing where I feel like I need to sneeze, but I can't sneeze, and it's driving me nuts.
I've had that all
day. Seriously, it was cold and it was raining the last couple of days, and now it's blue skies and it's bright and it's hot and it's all.
Oh, I can go you one better. It was raining when we started doing the podcast. The sun is now out. It was cloudy and it was thundering.
See,
and now it's sunny.
Texas. You gotta love Texas.
Well, anyway, those of you should know, you said the 3DS is not doing well. Well, they're getting there slowly. 3DS accounts for 65% of Japanese hardware sales so far. According to GI.biz, the 3DS reasserted its dominance in Japan as Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance entered the software charts at number one. According to their media created by Andrea Song, the Square Enix release sold 213,579 units during the week ending April 1st, more than twice the amount sold by its rival Konami's Pro Basketball Spirits 2012. Usually screw up this word, by the success of Kingdom Hearts, the 3DS held on to the top spot in the hardware chart with 121,921 in sales, an increase of almost 30,000 units over the previous week. 3DS now accounts for almost 65% of all hardware sales in the country. However, Sony's rival handheld, the PlayStation Vita, continued to struggle, selling just 12,105 units with a single game in the software top 20, which is a new little King Story, a revamped version of the 2009 Wii release. Well, Vita, get your castanets out. Start doing some dancing or something. Maybe you'll get
get out of that. Oh my god!
You all know I'm right. It sounds like it should be a dance. I'm gonna do the Vita. You know what? If they had actually done that for their marketing, they might have sold. They said, "Have you done the Vita? Click, 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 click. What is the Vita? Something? I don't know. You know, castanets. Pretty Latina or Spanish woman."
Oh my god, I love Miss Corey. I do.
Who out there doesn't think that sounds like a dance? I'm saying.
I never even thought about it that way until you mentioned it.
Or cheese, as in Velveeta.
Ooh, Velveeta. All right, so we are always having a second life here, people. Seriously, I hated it. I did not want to play when I heard that Corey and Snow did. I was like, oh my god, what the hell?
That's how we can't get her out.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so. Second Life used to teach relaxation techniques. A small study conducted by Massachusetts General Hospital, researchers found that online virtual communities can be a great way to train patients in the art of meditation and other mind and body related techniques. researchers used the virtual world of Second Life to conduct the research, are finding that a medical intervention, in this case teaching a mind-body approach that includes the relaxation response, can be delivered via a virtual environment, is important because these environments are richer and more rewarding than simply using interactive websites. This is coming from Daniel Hotch, MD, PhD, and Vincent Henry Institute for Mind of the Vincent Henry Institute for Mind and Body Medicine. Oh my God, can't talk, so congested. All right, so
poor baby.
I know. Virtual worlds proved to be a better way to teach patients relaxation techniques because it eliminated the limitations of face-to-face meetings, particularly with patients with mobility problems and other disabilities. It also worked well with individuals who were found to be uncomfortable in real-world group settings. Several patient support groups, including groups that support patients with neurological disorders, have already established Second Life communities to share information and experiences. Yes, actually, I went and visited a PTSD group. They were actually very informative, and it was nice to talk to other people. Anyways, the one caveat is that the study was only able to use patients who were healthy and had some sort of experience navigating a virtual world. Participants were put in groups of up to 8 individuals and participated in the study twice a week via virtual meetings led by a Vincent Henry clinician. Those taught different methods of relaxation, guided participants through practice sessions, answered questions participants had, and discussed the experiences.
Group members. Oh, no. I forgot to change our time. Guess what? We're in non-streaming, but keep it going.
Oh, no. All right. Well, this is long, so I'm going to try to cut it down. At the end of the study, researchers found that the participants found reductions in depression and anxiety-related symptoms. They also noted they were very satisfied with the virtual environment, with several participants saying that they would not have taken part without the online option. You know, I actually have 2 different places. I've not shared with anybody that I go to and I sit when, you know, I've had a bad day, whatever. I'm working in the background. I like the noise. It's calming. It's kind of in a little sea beach area. And I know I'm not physically at a beach, but I turn my graphics up to high and this place is so well done that I sit there and it's nice to hear the water, you know, lapping on the shore and everything. And it's actually very calming.
I know that there's quite a few medical people in Second Life. They have their own group. They actually have a virtual hospital and all kinds of things there. So not surprised to hear this.
Yes. The thing that I'm writing up when I get it finished, I did the whole virtual pregnancy inside Second Life. I went and did RP appointments. And these appointments were actually held by nurses or people who had been in the medical field working inside Second Life now at this office. And they were actually able to give you as close to what a real life experience as they could. I mean, they were knowledgeable. If you had questions, you were able to role play issues. They even have a high risk pregnancy one that you can do now through them. And the guy who did mine was, he had been a first responder for 11 years, actually blew out his knee in a house fire. So that's the reason why he wasn't able to continue doing his job real life. But he found doing this in Second Life still a way to fill that need in him.
Yeah, to help.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yes, yes. So everybody who works at this office has to have medical training of some sort, some kind of medical background.
As do I. And I thought about, remember I told you I was thinking about being the doctor where I come and do
that. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm still not opposed to that idea. I just need to make sure I have the time because, you know, you can't have people, the people with the pregnancies and the babies, they're serious business, okay?
I didn't bother my doctor unless I was at the appointments. And then I role-played it. Otherwise, he didn't hear from me.
Some people are role playing it to the hill. I'm having some pains. I'm like,
yes, yes, yes. No, anything else is role playing pregnancy. He wasn't there. No.
Well, it's fun. It's a fun experience.
Yeah.
Something to do in Second Life.
It was interesting. It was very, very interesting. And I can't wait to finish writing all this up and getting all my thoughts together for it.
I just know, Ginger, I'm going to need some diapers. We're going to borrow some diapers from you.
I do have some diapers.
Thank you. I'm going to need some diapers because, I'm going to have to grow her just a little bit, just a tiny bit so that we can try on some other stuff because I need to see the shoes standing and the wings standing. You can't do that when you have the newborn, so I have her growth turned off.
The diapers for that?
I just want some diapers. I just want to see what happens because I'm going to make some diapers, you know?
Oh, yeah, they don't seem to do anything besides just change the stat over her head.
Well, still, I want them to be pretty when I put them on. Do they show up on them?
No.
Well, hell, what am I making diapers for? What about the bottle? Does the bottle show up?
Well, you can tell it to put a diaper on, but that diaper doesn't really I have. Well, it does appear, but the diapers that you usually change, like you can buy from their store, don't do anything besides just change that over her head. You don't have to buy diapers, and you can still put that diaper on her.
See, now I'm going to have to get some diapers and stuff. I'm trying to expand vêtements.
Yes. Seriously, I spent hours playing with those shoes yesterday, so yeah.
What, all the shoes that you were learning how to make?
Yes.
Did you get a working pair?
Almost. And then I realized I did something wrong. I was like, so, but I know what I did wrong now, so I can go back and redo it.
Yay!
Yeah.
All right.
I touched something on the wrong layer.
Oh, it's all right, baby. You're going to get it. All right, so big news for you fans of Dramatic Story Games. Industry veteran Jane Jensen, who's the creator of the Gabriel Knight series, has formed a new studio to focus on the dark mysteries that she's famous for. You'll get details about the studio and a unique community-supported gaming business model, not to mention the three full-length adventure games currently under consideration. Let me see if I can tell you about them. Oh, okay, so you got Gabriel. Wait a minute. Where are we? Wow, Jane's people, you all need to get this together because Jane is awesome. she's awesome. She's worthy of a better press release. Okay, so her and composer Robert Holmes, both have 20-year veterans of the gaming industry, have formed what's called a studio called Pinkerton Road. And again, it's going to be devoted to developing adventure games with deep and compelling storylines, I say. I'm trying to figure out what this community-supported gaming thing is. It's supposed to be a concept developed by the two of them, derived from the concept of community-supported agriculture, which is a subscription model in which the consumers financially support independent organic farms, which we told you about when we were doing the Harvest Moon thing. They did something real life with the Harvest Moon people, kind of thing.
Yeah.
For regular orders of fresh produce in direct relationship with the people growing the food. So what Jensen is wanting to do is something similar through the development and delivery of their games.
Oh, my
so,
God.
What?
Go ahead. If we have time, I've got to talk about something.
Oh, we got a little time. Okay, so to kick off Pinkerton Road's initial CSG season, which will run through June 13th, they've launched a Kickstarter campaign with a $300,000 funding goal. Jane is best known for her acclaimed adventure games, thrillers, and complex dramatic plot lines that are often grounded in real historical mysteries. And she's been began her career at Sierra Online. Oh, I missed them in 1989. And she also worked on the flagship King's Quest franchise before creating her own supernatural mysteries, Gabriel Knight. She next co-founded Oberion Media. Oh, I remember them too, where she designed more than a dozen story-focused casual games between Dead Time Stories and Dying for Daylight, as well as adaptations of James Patterson's Women's Murder Club novels, Agatha Christie's Mysteries. Her most recent adventure was Grey Matter, released in 2010. Anyway, you can read more about this up on our site because we're starting to run short on time. We'll also link you to their Kickstarter campaign, which is going to run through May the 19th, and tell you how you can support her. She's really all kinds of awesome. She's also got her own Facebook, Jane Jensen Holmes. Make sure you check her out. Tell her we sent you. We love you, Jane.
That yes, we do. Totally. All right, something I wanted to talk about, and this is not exactly a news story, but I wanted to let people hear about it. So many of you have Facebooks, and you are my friends on Facebook. If you go to my Facebook, look for the game Wiitopia that I've been playing.
Yes, I know.
This game is awesome, actually. Did you check it out?
No.
When you play it, you actually earn points and whatnot, and you can send joy. This joy, mm-hmm. you can actually you watch a couple of ads while you're playing the game, and the contributors for the ads actually send support to these different charities, like U.S. Whitney Food Pantry, Haiti Bright Futures, U.S. Love to Read, U.S. Healthy Kids, Haiti Book Drive, and a whole bunch of other things. You can actually support these groups by playing this game. So if you are a Facebook game player, you like them. This one is actually very well done. I'm quite addicted to it, as Corey was joking about.
Yes. What is it?
It was all over my Facebook. It's Wiitopia. W-E-topia.
I don't trust you.
And as you play it, you are helping out these charities, these real-world charities. And that is amazing, people. Just amazing. I love that. I think that is so awesome.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I have it on, like, both my Facebooks and was playing it yesterday, and it's really a lot of fun. And I love the idea that I'm gaming for a good cause.
I see your point, but it better be game. You can't ask me to
it
game.
It is. It is fun.
For a good cause and then.
It's actually, seriously, you know me. I don't play bad games very well. This one is very, very well done.
That was a Kittenatrix sound effect, by the way. I'm going to have to post a picture of her to Twitter. Somebody said, oh, your kitten's cute. I said, she is so not that tiny anymore. She looks like a little weird tiger thing, whatever she
is. I bet she's huge now.
She is, but she's still a kitten, so she's driving me nuts.
Aww. I love kittens. They're so much fun.
I'm going to put it in a box and send it to your house.
You do that. She can have fun with my kitty. Actually, my kitty will probably be just like, what the hell is this? Get it away from me.
You know how they do that little tap thing? Where they tap stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, that we call that tap, tap, tapping. So and she does it to everything, your feet. So I came in yesterday, and she's sitting on the coffee table tapping the iPad. Like, we took your game off there. And she's just, meow. I was like, work. How do you get this thing to work?
Why is it not working? Where's my game?
iPad, why you don't work? Tap, tap, tap. Cats are interesting. I will give them that. All right.
They are. They really, really are.
Odd creatures. Okay, wait a minute. I don't think I closed my freaking press release that I had open. Why would I do such a thing?
I don't know. Why would you do such a thing?
I don't know. All right.
Well, you want me to grab another one?
No, I had more open. It's just that one I specifically wanted to read, and it did not stay open. It was weird. Why would you do that? Why? Okay. So, lovely of you people. By the power of indie development, Saturday Morning RPG is going to hit the App Store now. Mighty Rabbit Studios, an independent mobile game developer based in North Carolina's bustling Research Triangle Park, has announced the launch of their first title for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. Where is the joy?
Never any joyed love. Come on, man.
It's called the Saturday Morning RPG. It's an episodically epic role-playing game inspired by the best cartoons and pop culture icons of the 80s. SMRPG is a love letter to all your best childhood weekend memories. To take up the fight against the forces of retro evil, download the first episode of SMRPG from the App Store today for free. That's right. What does it include? Well, original soundtrack by legendary composers like Vince DiCola, best known for his work on Transformers, the animated movie, and Kenny Meredith, who worked on musical scores for over 200 popular cartoons and shows, including DuckTales, remember, X-Men, and Power Rangers. Wow. Touchscreen-controlled, timing-based combat inspired by classic JRPGs and legendary items from the 80s. Use a bot-changer action figure to crush enemies as a semi-trailer truck, or a joystick to start a video tennis barrage. Progressive system that players roll characters' abilities to match their playstyle and mix and match magical scratch and sniff stickers they collect in-game to boost powers, debuff enemies, and more. You can't call them scratch and sniff because you can't sniff them on the iPad. Stop it! A full season of planned self-contained episodes that will tell the full tale of SMRPG hero Martin Marty Michael Mall's battle against the forces of evil. For more information, you can visit the official Mighty Rabbit site. There's a very long URL, triplepointpr.us, for just find them. They're on Facebook and Twitter as well if you want to look for them. And again, they're, what's the name of them? Mighty Rabbit Studios. They also have a Twitter. Again, this is their first title to be produced. You can also check them out at Joystick Labs if you want to see what else they're going to be working on this year. It's hilarious. And with that, we're going to go. You can't hear us anyway, but you can. Hopefully you're listening here on streaming. Freaking BT. BT, you know we play a song for you. Because you're not taking your time. You were in a hurry. You rushed.
I know, right? Guys, take notes.
Mm-hmm. Like a guy that takes his time. We will see you guys later tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, make sure you're there when our special guest will be Mollipop from LeafyGamers.com.
Mollipop. I love my Mollipop.
She'll be giving us a little bit, some updates from PAX.
Oh, God will take some time. I'll go for any time. I'm a fast-moving gal who likes them slow. Got no use for fancy driving. Wanna see your guy arriving in low. I've been satisfied, electrified to know a guy would take this time.
Later, boys and girls,